Hello, everyone, and welcome to Minute 27 of Season 5 of Movie Rob Minute, the daily podcast where we yippee-ki-yay our way through the 1990 Bruce Willis action flick Die Hard 2, Die Harder, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today is Duncan Shields of Chronologically Speaking.
Hello.
Welcome back, Duncan.
Sorry, hello there. Welcome back.
You always jump the gun. That's fine.
I do.
Nothing wrong with that. It shows your excitement. It shows that you want to talk about this, that you want to be here.
Yes. You know?
And it shows that we've got an unidentified stiff here. You know, these type of things. Just it's the way it works. Okay, so minute 27 begins with the fax getting ready to be sent and ends with John mouthing a thank you. So we finished things yesterday. John finally decided to wake up and smell the Coke of the 90s.
That's right.
As we've established that's what he's smelling.
Yeah.
And you know he decides that he's sending a fax to Al of the fingerprints that he took from Cochran's body last week. And this minute begins with the rent-a-car girl from Budget, sending the fax. Now, I find it really interesting. I think I might have mentioned this in the past, but, you know, for all the airlines, they use fake airlines for obvious reasons, but they still use the Budget rent-a-car. I guess maybe because she's actually, polite and nice and whatever.
Yeah, and I think it's also just advertising, like product placement in a... Like, yeah, I think there's something about ground transportation versus air transportation that, like, it's just another thing. Like, what was the in planes, trains, and automobiles? Was that Budget as well?
No, that was they had to have a fake
one. Oh, that was a fake one.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so that wasn't
Hertz. They couldn't use a real one.
No, okay.
I don't think any rent-a-car company was willing to let them unleash 17 F-bombs within a minute. Yeah, no, I don't think so.
Yeah, I guess you're right. It's because she's a nice girl.
Yes. So, I mean, basically, we get a little more exposition here at this point because John says to Al over the phone, I'm sending you something now. And then Powell goes, hold on a second, cowboy. It's funny that he calls him cowboy.
Yeah.
You know, that's another callback to the original movie. And then we see him he gets up, starts to leave the room, and then goes back to his desk in order to grab his Twinkies. We see that he puts the phone on hold as he's doing, or he's pressing a button on the phone, which we're assuming is he's putting it on hold. But, you know, we find out in a few seconds that what he's doing is he's actually transferring the call. You know, but yeah, I like the fact that he runs back just to, you know, to go and pick up the Twinkie. Stuffing in his mouth.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
You know, but then when he walks out of the door, you can actually see his nameplate on the door. So yes, he has moved up in the world, as the script said, because he does have his own office. You know, it does say Sergeant Powell.
Right. Okay, well that makes more sense because his assistant here with the pretty amazing mustache and little wavy kind of a wavy hairdo here, kind of like the Green Goblin or whatever. It's a pretty amazing looking
yes,
dude. I was wondering.
I couldn't find him listed on IMDb, if that's what you're looking for.
I guess if Powell has his own office, then this must be his secretary. Because the mystery for me is he hangs up the phone, he presses a button and hangs up the phone, and then walks out of his office, and then this mystery man just hands him the phone that already has McClane on it, and there's no communication.
No, but maybe he forwarded the call to him, and therefore he knows that he's coming. You know, he does come into the room pretty quickly.
Yeah, so I imagine this is something that's happened a lot. This is him transferring a call to the phone by the fax machine, and his helper here knows what to do. But also this in the background here, we've got L.A. And I guess this is an actual office in L.A. The way it was lit and everything, I thought maybe it was green screen. But that looks like they're actually shooting in an office in the corner.
It does look that way. But we can also be thankful that, you know, if this is Powell's secretary, so we should be thankful that, you know, they didn't use the same secretary that we saw last week with Lorenzo. Because Lorenzo's secretary was a porn star.
Okay.
Yes. It was her first real acting gig, you know, and after that she became a porn star. So yeah, so actually with this mustache you never know. Maybe that's
Yeah,
where this guy was going also.
absolutely. The two of them got into it afterwards.
Could be. Anything is possible. You see that he's got like a Twinkie stuffed in his mouth as he's answering the phone.
Yep.
And then he you know pulls out of his mouth and goes, fingerprints, you know, like why are you sending me fingerprints? That's more or less what he's saying. And
Yeah.
then John goes, well, we've got an unidentified stiff here. I've circled the worlds in pen in case the transmission is fuzzy. Running through state and federal, and if you can, Interpol. So it got me thinking about, you know, like the whole idea of first of all, use of the term stiff.
Oh, okay.
How far back do you think that slang term goes?
As far back as rigor mortis, I would assume.
Right. So a stiff is basically slang for a corpse. Okay. And the earliest notation that I found for it was in a book from 1823. That was a classic dictionary of the vulgar tongue.
Ah, the vulgar tongue.
Yes. And it says stiff ones of no use, a dead man.
Well, there you go. I'm shocked that it's that recent. I would assume that a stiff would be they'd be using that in Babylon, you know, like that
Really?
strikes me as an old term, because it's a defining characteristic. You could call them a cold one or a stiff one. I would imagine goes back further
No, but
than.
those when you say a cold one or a stiff one, you're usually talking about a drink.
Yeah, that's true too. Well, that's one thing I'm actually more. A cold one is like the temperature of a beer, but I'm kind of more curious about the etymology of a stiff drink.
Yeah, well,
You know?
I didn't look that up. I saw it. I
No, I
did
know.
see it along the way, but I didn't go into that because I was trying to find more information specifically about a stiff referring to a corpse.
Fair.
You know. It's funny that they're referring to this very nonchalantly, you know, talking about
Yeah.
you know, especially since, you know, Carmine thinks it's just punk steel and luggage, you know, but for him to say, you know, we've got an unidentified stiff here, you know, so
Yeah.
it's an interesting way to put it. So fingerprints, right? What do you know about fingerprints?
I know that there's a couple of people in the world who don't have them. There's like three or four people in the world who don't have them. And people are like, oh, well, they should get into being criminals because they wouldn't ever be caught. And it's like, no, there's three or four people in the world that don't have them. So the list of suspects would be very short indeed.
That's
So it's
true.
like, oh, yeah, right.
That's true.
So. But
Right.
they're good for, I know that cows have snout prints because they're just as unique. I've heard that actually this is, you know, whatever stuff I wish I didn't know, but apparently everyone's anus has a unique signature layering of folds that can be used to
Thank you for
identify
that
a human.
information. I don't know where I'm gonna ever use that again,
I don't know.
but
I
thank
don't
you.
know either. But in terms of like identifying characteristics, I know that fingerprints are kind of up there with lie detectors and that they're not as reliable as people thought they were because of the partials that people get and the errors in recording. So they can be used as part of the totality of the evidence that's gathered, but I don't think that they aren't as leaned on as heavily as is portrayed in most movies.
Okay, so a fingerprint is an impression left by the friction ridges of the human finger. Okay,
And the
moisture,
oils, right? People,
that's
the
right,
oils that
moisture
we.
and grease on the finger result in fingerprints on surfaces such as glass or metal. Human fingerprints are detailed, nearly unique, difficult to alter, and durable over the life of an individual, making them suitable as long-term markers of human identity. Okay,
Right.
but as you said, there are people who don't have it all, but it what's really cool is the fact that there are, you know, billions of people in the world, and even if you go back in time and think about it, there, you know, the fact that every single person's fingerprints are slightly different. You know, it's
Yeah.
not something you know, that's at all, you know, hereditary or anything like that. You know, if you have a fingerprint, the odds are there is nobody who has a fingerprint like you. And the fact that all 10 of your fingers are very similar also, you know, actually, I didn't even know that. Are all 10 supposedly similar, or
I
all
don't
10
think
are
they are.
unique? So that
I
would
think
you
all 10 are unique.
all 10 are unique separately, right? Yeah.
Have you checked to see, do you have toe prints?
I don't know.
I don't know either. I'm not sure if we have toe
I've
prints.
never looked.
I imagine not, because they're pressed on the ground all the time and they rub around on the ground all the time. I think friction probably does away with prints
No,
that may or may not have been there in the
but they
beginning.
do say it's very difficult to get rid of your prints. You know, you can't, it's, you know, just because you're working hard and you have calluses on your hands or whatever it's not as if your fingerprints are going to go away. So I don't know
True,
how that
true.
works with footprint,
Well,
but
unless you shave them off, like John Doe in Seven, if
right,
you shave off the tips.
which apparently is very, very painful and difficult to do.
I can
So
imagine, yeah.
I don't really have much of a desire to try to do something like that. But
No.
if you want to be our guinea pig, go right ahead, Duncan. Let me know how it goes.
I think if I was going to do that, it'd be a lot quicker to do it with a automatic sander. That would just be like a. You know, 2 seconds of awful pain and then you're done, instead of the slow shaving that we see in the opening credits of Seven. I don't think I could deal with the slow shaving. I think
That's true.
I'd
I
want
can.
I'd rather want just a blast of intense pain before
Right.
my, or yeah, like they do in the beginning of Men in Black, or when the montage of Will Smith becoming an agent in Men in Black. He just puts his hands on the side of this silver orb and there's a flash of light and he screams, and then they're gone.
Technology.
Technology.
That's right. So a do you know that the name of like the study of fingerprint identification? There are three name there are three names here.
I did, but I don't anymore.
Okay, so the first one is a simple one, handprint identification. Okay, then you have dactyloscopy.
Hey, there we go. Dactyl. Good old dactyl. Polydactyly. There we
That's
go.
right. And then the other one is rigiology.
Really?
Yep. Rigiology.
Rigiology. That's so hilariously literal. I have a hard time believing that's the actual term for it. That's
I don't know.
fantastic.
That's what I found in Wikipedia. So
Like, what do you call it? In oh gosh, what was that? There was a firefight. Willem Dafoe movie. The two brothers, Boondock Saints, with Willem Dafoe in the bit in the room when he's like. There's that detective with a really complicated last name, one of those like sort of Eastern European names with like four consonants in a row. And he's like, "Well, thank you, Mr. Spezesik." And he's like, "Whoa, you pronounced my name correctly. You're the first person to get it right on the first try." And Willem Dafoe's like, "Well, that's because I'm an expert in nameology and ridgeology." Okay, that's great. That's great.
And then, so he talks about circling the worlds, which I don't know how that really helps in case the
Well, he
transmission is
says, yeah,
fuzzy.
I don't know. He says whorls, and I think he means whorls,
Yes.
because the actual term is whorls. But
Right. Well, it's
and I
spelled
and
in the script or in the sorry, in the subtitles, it's spelled WHORLS.
yeah, that's right, whorls, yeah.
Right. So, you know, but he, what does he know? He just calls them worlds. You know, that's it. Maybe it's the
I wonder if it's the same with whirlpools, if they were actually whorlpools and then
don't
they
know.
became whirlpools.
That I don't know. I did not check that out. And then Powell says to him, "Will do." Well, what's this all about? You know, it's good to have a friend, you know, that's willing to do these things without really asking what you have to do.
Yeah.
And then John says, "Oh, just a feeling I have. Ouch. When you get those feelings, insurance companies start to go bankrupt."
Ha 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 ha
Yeah. Listen, the fax number is, and then the budget girl chimes in and goes, "On the top of the transmission." And John says, "On the top of the transmission, you got." He goes, "Oh, an airport, huh? You're not pissing in someone's pool, are you?" And he goes, "Yep, yeah, and I'm fresh out of chlorine."
da 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 da
Yeah. So now it's a nice callback to his conversation last week with Carmine, where Carmine says that, I'm the big fish and you're in my pond. So, it's just a different way of looking at it. Yeah, and that's pretty much the way this minute ends. But one of the things that I was found interesting is, they talk about chlorine in pools and stuff like that. So
Yeah.
I found that there are different ways to keep a pool, nice and sanitary and clean. There are two basic ways that you would do it. You have the filtration system, which removes any type of organic waste on a daily basis by using sieve baskets inside the skimmer.
Sea baskets.
No, sieve baskets.
Oh, sieve. Okay, that makes more
Sieve,
sense. All right, cool.
sieve, sieve. Could be a sieve, isn't it? Is it only pronounced a sieve? I don't know.
No, I just thought it was like a sea basket, which I'm like, I have no idea what that is. Like sea biscuit, like sea basket. I don't know, but
Yes,
sieve
it's a horse.
baskets, yeah,
They
for
use
sure.
a horse from the early 1900s,
It's
that from the 1930s,
very,
in order
yeah.
to keep your every pool sanitary.
Yes.
And then the second thing you have is disinfection, which is where you basically use chlorine or some other type of disinfectant to kill microorganisms in the pool. I mean, growing up, we had a pool in our house, so I'm very
Yeah.
familiar with these type of things. I would always have to clean the skimmers. And I don't know if I had to put in chlorine. That I don't remember if I had to do. No, I think I just had to always clean the pool. Clean out the skimmers with whatever gunk they caught up, and then you'd have like the net that you'd have to pick stuff up from also at the same time. So,
Makes sense.
yeah. Do you have anything else for this minute?
I do. I have three things. The first one is that McLean tells our good friend Powell, who works in records in some police office in LA, to run it through state and federal, and if he can, run it through Interpol.
Why
And
not?
I don't know what kind of international superpowers regular cop Powell has to be able to just first of all, that
No,
fast get through.
maybe they have a database that connects to all these things, so why not?
Well, because in my understanding in terms of legal and jurisdiction, kind of stuff like that is, there's not just some database somewhere that's hooked into like Interpol, state, federal, where you can just say, here's some prints, and expect a response 5 minutes later that scours the whole world for
Well,
everybody's
especially not
possible.
1990, I think it takes a little bit longer.
I don't even know if they have that now. Like, you got to get permission to look through Interpol. You got to get permission to look through federal, especially if you're just Officer Joe Blow from some mild office. And that fax came through quick. That's
Yeah.
another thing too, is like, I'm like, and also, faxes. He says he's, like you said, he circled the walls in case the transmission's a little fuzzy. I have no idea why circling anything would make it more clearer. He doesn't have a enhance button in the middle of the way he circles
Right.
things. And also, aren't fingerprints all quarrels? Like, pretty much. Like, that's the whole. But I guess there's some in the center and some on the side or
Yeah.
whatever. But I have extreme doubts. I don't believe for a second that the fax technology of 1990 is good enough to accurately transmit hastily taken fingerprints off of a body, enough so that he can like fax them to Powell, and then Powell's gonna fax them to somewhere else, and then they're gonna actually get a positive ID. I mean,
Well,
they're
movie
gonna be.
fiction, come on. You got a
Oh,
suspension of
it's
disbelief.
movie fiction. Oh, for sure, it's movie fiction, because that's not gonna happen. And then the other thing is that I remember a thing to do to break somebody's fax machine was called the Black Loop of Death, where you get a couple of sheets of black construction paper, and you fax that to somebody, and then you tape like three or four pieces of black construction paper together. And you start faxing them, and then as the first one comes out, you bend it over and tape it to the last piece of paper So it creates just this endless loop of solid black paper being faxed to somebody, and it makes their fax machine run out of toner in about 2 minutes.
And why so why would someone do this?
Because they hate the person they're faxing. It was like a fax prank, a fax curse, a way to totally mess up somebody's fax machine if you wanted to make it run out of ink. Like immediately was you just fax them the black loop of death.
Okay.
Sort of an analog way to do that. But the third thing I wanted to talk about is that this is a phone call from a clearly insane person. This phone call that Powell is getting is from a person who is crazy, who is delusional. He's like, I'm at a budget rent-a-car booth in the airport. Here's fingerprints from a dead body. I want you to check the whole world and see if they are, you know, wanted. And also, I'm messing with the local cops here, LOL. Like, I'm like, you're getting a phone call from somebody who is not well.
Yes, but you know, we know that he's actually telling the truth here. That's the irony of it all.
Well, that's the thing, though. Even if he is, these facts by themselves are terrifying.
Yes.
These are not the facts you would receive from a rational professional person.
Well, it's John McClane. These, like, come on.
for sure. I just this moments in this movie where we'll get into it later, but there's moments in this movie where I'm like, okay, my sense of immersion is being destroyed. But I'm still having a good time.
Yes.
I know it's supposed to be an exaggeration, but dear me, you know, so that, and this is the beginning of that chain of like, okay, this is not a phone call that should have Powell going, you know.
Maybe he's bored.
Oh, haha.
Maybe he's bored.
No, but Powell's proper reaction here should be, you know, have you stopped taking your meds? Is everything okay? You know, do you need to call somebody? You know,
maybe Powell says, okay, you've been for one day with your in-laws. I can understand it.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, you really have been stretched past the breaking point, haven't you, John? Yeah.
Could be. Right. And so then right before the minute ends, John hangs up the phone and very stupidly starts flirting even more with his budget girl and mouths the word thank you to her.
Yes.
You know, not the smartest thing for a married man to be doing.
No.
Very flirty.
Little too flirty, for sure.
Yeah. Okay, so the script has a few minor discrepancies. Nothing major here. Right. So he says, Powell says fingerprints, and then McClane goes, from a stiff down here at Dulles. I marked the worlds with a pen in case the transmission's fuzzy. Can you run that through state and federal for me? Throw an Interpol if you got it. Will do. What's this about? I don't know. Just a feeling. Ouch. You get those feelings, insurance companies start to go bankrupt. The fax number is at the top of the end of the edge of the transmission he just got. So basically, it's pretty much the same. You know, instead of him saying, I'm fresh out of chlorine, he says, break out the chlorine. So, I don't know.
I see.
Don't know. Little strange for that, but all right. We'll give him that one.
Yeah.
Right. All right. So every Tuesday, we have a segment called Disaster Tuesday, where basically we will discuss some sort of airplane disaster that happened, over the last century or so. And what I try to do is I try to find some sort of connection between my guest and this particular, crash. It's usually deals with somebody who's famous that unfortunately perished in some sort of, air disaster. So do you know the name? You probably do. I didn't know it before I did the search. But do you know someone named Peter Eric James Prentice?
Huh. It's kind of ringing a bell.
Okay, he was the premier of Alberta. I know that you're in British Columbia, but I don't know. Maybe you would know.
Yeah. No. I had no idea. Yeah, P.E. James Prentice. I see.
Yes.
No.
So he passed away in a plane crash on October 13th, 2016. He and three others were flying after they took off from British Columbia. They took off from a place called Kelowna.
Kelowna.
It's spelled differently than it's pronounced, I guess. Kelowna, British Columbia. Yeah. They were on their way from Kelowna to Calgary, and they had just spent the day golfing in Kelowna. They flew across. How far is Alberta from? How far is Calgary from Vancouver?
Calgary from Vancouver is about if I remember correctly, it's about a 14-hour drive. 14, 15-hour drive.
It's probably like an hour and a half, 2-hour flight.
Yeah.
Okay, that's pretty far to be going just to play golf. I don't know.
Well, that's politicians for you. Yeah, Kelowna's because of its spelling is a little different because it's from a First Nations Indigenous word meaning grizzly bear.
Grizzly bear, okay. Yeah. Right, so apparently Prentice and three others were flying and the plane crashed, and nobody really knew what happened. And even after a year and a half, when they did a investigation of the whole thing, and they couldn't find any conclusive reason for the crash, but they claimed that it was likely that the pilot had experienced spatial disorientation shortly after takeoff, having had little experience flying at night.
Oh shoot! Yeah, when you can't see anything out the windows, I imagine it's real easy to mess things up.
I know, it just sounds a little strange to say, well, we couldn't find anything, but let's just blame the pilot anyway.
Yeah, you know, it seems kind of arbitrary.
Yeah, it's a little unfair, I guess you can say, because it's not like they have any real proof.
Looks like the pilot had a case of the crashies.
Yeah,
you know, like it just seems. Yeah, he experienced spatial disorientation.
So yeah, it must have been him. Must have been him.
Yeah. That's kind of like with the latest SpaceX launch when they said that, you know, it exploded just after taking off. And I think someone tweeted that it had experienced rapid unscheduled disassembly.
There you go.
And I'm like, yeah, sure. So he experienced spatial disorientation.
Yeah.
Sure.
Exactly. All right. So, Duncan, you want to tell people how they can get in touch with you?
Yeah, you can go to chronologicallyspeaking.com or just look for Chronologically Speaking. Or you can go look for me on the Time Bandits Minute with me and Curtis. We're taking note on Time Bandits Movie by Minute. That's always fun. Or just look for By Duncan Shields and all your favorite social media outlets.
All right. And while you're doing that, you go rate, review, and subscribe to any podcatcher you might be using to listen to the show. Finding me is quite simple. All you have to do is a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter. Or you can find me on my website, movierobminute.com. So, until tomorrow, yippee-ki-yay!
Yippee-ki-yay!
If you're fond of sand dunes and salty air, quaint little villages here and there,